pastoring in Longmont, Colorado. And we did bring some people here tonight. I already told them I was going to embarrass them. Just wave, everybody from Longmont or from our church. Amen. We filled up a row right here, and there's some more that weren't able to come tonight. But we're so excited. We have a couple here and their family that's been coming for a long time. Some of you know Patrick and Laura. So make sure you come, everybody in here, come and greet them at the end. Make them feel nice and welcome. Amen. I'll just share with you a couple of things. You know, God is really doing a lot in Longmont. It has been a really exciting season there, and I want to brag on you a little bit. We celebrated our one-year anniversary, if you can believe it, 1 year on February 4th. It's just a couple of weeks ago. It went by quick, and we had the band Savor came up, and we had a pancake breakfast for the church in the morning, and then taco night, Mexican food night in the evening. And I wasn't sure because I didn't realize until a few weeks later that was Super Bowl Sunday. So that made me nervous. And then it happened to snow like crazy. But I'm telling you, we had a packed out house. And I just want to share for those that came and supported that, we're still seeing a lot of fruit coming from that night. People that came on that night are still continuing to come. Amen. It's exciting. And so we're grateful for Sabor and for everybody that came and supported us. And, you know, we're having a lot of people that have gotten saved in our church, and now their family is starting to come in and starting to get saved. And we're seeing just God is really extending through families. And so we're so excited about what God's doing. Keep us in your prayers for that. Amen. I want to get into the Word of God this evening. And if you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, we'll start there and move through Exodus a little bit. Amen. I've entitled this message, I want to talk tonight about your burning bush moment. Your burning bush moment. Now, I know we're in Colorado, so it's not the burning bush that you're thinking of. We're not burning bush tonight, amen. I'm going to need you to laugh, okay? Amen. I use humor when I get nervous, so there's going to be some humor tonight. We're not burning bush, but we do need to have a burning bush moment, and I'm going to talk about what that is and what that means to you. Amen. I love what Pastor Paul was saying during the offering about putting your focus on God, and the songs were singing that, so I know I'm preaching right. That's what we're talking about really tonight is putting our focus on God. And just look with me in Exodus chapter 2. Starting there in verse 11, we're going to talk about Moses. It says, "Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens." So he went out to, you know, in this time in the Bible, the Israelites are in slavery in Egypt. Some of you know the story, but they're in slavery in Egypt. This is God's chosen people. And for years and years, they're calling on God and they're saying, "God, set us free from this bondage. Take us out of slavery. Where are you at, God?" And so the Bible says that God had gave Moses to his mother, and he was born for the very purpose of being their deliverer. He was going to deliver the people of God out of slavery. And so at this moment, he says he goes out and looks at their burdens, and look at what happens. It says, "And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Amen. How many knew that this was, before you read this just now, you knew this was premeditated? Amen. You know what? I'm not going to lie. When I read that, I didn't know about the looking both ways first. I thought it was like a killing of passion. But you know what? He thought about what he was going to do. He said, "Man, I'm going to kill this guy." And it says that he buried him in the sand. Verse 13, "And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Then he said, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' So Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well." And so this, some of you might have heard this story. And you know what's interesting about this story? You can read ahead on your own time and read that eventually Moses runs away and runs into the desert. And what happens is he ends up meeting a girl there, and he starts to kind of get a family. And before you know it, he was content and settled to live in that desert. And so I really want to pause right there and talk about for a second, because you may not realize how much you have in common, you and I have in common with Moses tonight, but there's a lot of people here, you might be exactly where Moses is. Not that you killed somebody and buried them, hopefully not, but you might be in a place where Moses is, and I'll explain. Because you know what? Moses had this problem, and he ran. That's what the Bible said. He didn't know what to do. He was found out, and he chose to run away. Amen. How many have ever run away from a problem? It never seems to work out, does it? It never kind of, you think it's going to kind of fix itself. You think, well, if I run away, it'll just kind of happen. I've shared this story before, but I remember when I was a teenager, I've been coming to this church all my life, and I was a teenager, and I was pulling into the parking lot one day in my car for youth service, and I was pulling into a parking spot, and I didn't realize how close I was to the car next to me, and so I plowed into the car next to me. How sad is that? Car accident with a parked car. Amen. But I hit that car, and I started freaking out. I jumped out, and that car was jacked. The door was all dented in. It was bad. I mean, this wasn't like a ding. This was bad. And so I remember standing there and thinking, I have no idea what to do. My parents happened to be out of town, and I just thought, I'm out of here. And so I jumped into my car, and my parents live about 5 minutes from the church. And so I booked it. I peeled out of the parking lot. And on the way home, I'm plotting. Okay, if I can just get home, I'll clean my car up and it'll work out somehow. And so I pulled into the garage, shut it real quick, caught my breath, and I ran inside and got some paper towels. And I started trying to wipe off the scratches. You know, when you're in real trouble, you're not thinking like that's going to work. And I'm wiping scratches off my car, and I'm realizing, starting to panic, because I'm realizing this is not coming off. So then I'm plotting, okay, what am I going to tell my parents? What lie am I going to tell when they see all these scrapes? And I remember thinking, at least I got away with it. Nobody saw me. It's going to be okay. And I remember in that moment so clearly, like it was yesterday, I remember this shame and this just guilt that came over me. And it wasn't about the other person's car or anything like that. This was God convicting my heart. And I remember thinking, this is not okay. I need to go back. And even as I was saying that, I was thinking, I don't want to do this. I don't want to deal with this. And so I started driving back to the church, and I prayed the most faithful prayer that I've ever prayed in my life. I said, God, do me one thing. Please just let nobody see it yet. I will go into the church, figure out whose it is. Just please, please, please let nobody see. And I felt good. I was like, all right, I'm doing the right thing. And so I remember coming down Boychuk, and I'm pulling around into the parking lot, and there was just a circle of men surrounding this car. And I started panicking, and I got a little closer, and it wasn't just men. It was Pastor Dustin, Pastor Marshall, all the pastors. And Pastor Marshall had a vein popping out of his forehead, which told me it was Pastor Marshall's car. I did a hit and run on Pastor Marshall. Amen. If anybody here knows Pastor Marshall, I was even more terrified. Murder. So I remember I pulled up and I ran out and said, wait, and he was on the phone too, by the way. He was calling the police. Turns out someone did see and saw me hit and run and called. So thank God I listened to God and I went back, and Pastor Meister and I still talk, so we're okay. He forgave me. Amen. But how many know running away from your problems doesn't work? It never works. Amen. But here Moses, I want you to realize Moses thought he was doing right. We talked about it, that Moses' purpose on this earth was going to be to deliver these Israelites. And so he had the right heart. But he did it in his own way. Amen. God didn't tell him murder that guy and hide it. That's what he did on his own. And so, he saw that his people were suffering in bondage, but because he did it his own way, because he tried to do it on his own, it didn't work out too well. And you know what? There might be people here tonight. You are in the same spot as Moses is. You know, you want to serve God. We're sitting in church, amen, on a Sunday night. You clearly want to live for God. There's a desire to please God with our lives. But maybe you're always fighting those past mistakes. You know, there's every kind of background, every kind of past represented in this place. And some people, you're running from those things. Amen. You're just trying to forget about it. You're trying to move past the things that you used to do. And it's almost like you can't move forward with your walk with God because you're so focused on fighting off your past. Amen. That's what Moses was doing. He was just trying to get away from that mistake. And doesn't the devil have a way of bringing up our past? Amen. Moses, Moses is trying to do right again. We just read the story that he walks out and he sees two Hebrews fighting and he's saying, hey, brothers, don't fight. Hey, we're on the same team. And he wasn't expecting one of them to say, oh yeah, you're going to kill us like that guy yesterday. Amen. Your past comes up sometimes. And he panicked and he ran off. And what becomes dangerous is it says that Moses reached a point where he became content. He said, listen, I've ruined my future. I've done some things that I can't get past. So I'm going to stay out here in the desert and be a shepherd. This is God's chosen man for delivering his people. But he decided, I'm just going to be content to keep my head down and tend these sheep, and I'm just not going to screw anything else up. Amen. Has anybody else ever felt like that? Do we have honest people here tonight? Amen. Sometimes we just feel like failures. I feel like that sometimes. And we think, man, I'm just content just to put my head down and try to make it. And so another way of putting it is it feels like your past disqualifies you. We feel like our past disqualifies us from doing anything for God. And so when we get to that place, God has to grab our attention. Amen. It's a wake-up call. And he has to remind us of his will. And there's different ways that God does that. But in the situation we're going to look at, it was a burning bush moment. Look with me and turn to Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read a good amount of verses here. It says in verse 1 of Exodus 3, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then God said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, when I read this, I kind of chuckled when I read this, because to me it kind of came off as, stop right there. Take your sandals off. You're not going anywhere. I'm about to blow your socks off. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. It was God getting Moses' attention, because Moses was content. He was okay with just the status quo. I'm just going to take care of my sheep. And so God had to do something to kind of get Moses' attention. Amen. And he might be doing that for us tonight. It was like him saying, prepare to be wild. I'm going to reveal my plan. And look at what he says. He says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. That's a lot of ites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression by which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, pay special attention to verse 11, because this is our tendency right here. We're just like Moses. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? That's what Moses is. Here God tells him, I am going to use you. Just picture how amazing this is for just a second. Imagine that God comes to you and says, I am going to use you to deliver this mass of people out of slavery. That's awesome. And he said, but God, who am I to do this? God had a wonderful plan for using Moses' life, but Moses was stuck looking at what he could do. Moses was still stuck on being a murderer and a fugitive from the law, and that's all that he could see of himself. He didn't see God's deliverer. He didn't see how God was going to be able to use him to do anything other than tend sheep in the desert. Amen. And we all have moments when, you know, maybe you, God has spoken to you somehow, or he's put it on your heart to do something for him, and you've had a moment of, God, how in the world are you going to do that? I remember when we first came to Longmont, and we were just getting started. And I'm telling you, it's pretty obvious. Your confidence is already kind of, oh gosh, you know? And I remember that a person, they're not even coming anymore to our church, but I preached, and I was talking to them after the service, and they said, so what Bible school did you attend? And for whatever reason, that was the most discouraging thing to me, because I was thinking of what skill did I have? You know, you're already thinking, what am I going to be able to do? And then for them to ask something like that, and I was nervous because the answer is none. Amen. I'm out here just trying to make it, you know, like everybody else. Give a brother a break. But, you know, amen. But we all have those moments where we're saying, God, how in the world are you going to use me to do anything? Amen. Amen. So we all have those moments, but Moses was stuck because he was still operating on what he could do. He was still thinking of himself. Remember where that got him? Amen. What he could do is kill somebody and bury them and then run off into the desert. That was as far as Moses could go on his own. Amen. You know what? God, hold on one sec. Amen. So he thought, how is God going to use me? Because he was living in exile in the desert. Amen. This was not a man that thought God's going to be able to use me at all. Moses was stuck because of operating in himself. And so I want to give you a couple of things. Maybe you're in that place tonight. Maybe, you know what, you're sitting in this church. Maybe you're a part of this church. You have some kind of something inside of you that wants to do more. There's all kinds of things that you can do. Amen. There's all kinds of ministries. There's needs represented here. But you think, how is God ever going to use my life? It might be an age thing. It might be a financial thing. It might be, like Moses, that you're looking at your past and thinking, man, if these people knew how I was, they wouldn't be giving me a ministry application. Amen. And you're looking back and thinking, how is God going to do that? Well, I want to give you a couple of things that God will do to help you with that. Number one, God will humble you. Now, this might not make sense right away, but God will humble you. You might think, well, Moses seemed pretty humble. He said, who am I that I should go, right? And that sounds like a humble question. God, who am I that I should go? But like I said, what Moses was really doing is he was looking at his lack rather than looking at God. He was thinking, God, you can't do anything with me. I'm nothing. You're talking to the wrong person. So let's look at what God's answer was. Let's look at what God says. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Exodus 3:14. It says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. Amen. There's power in that. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Amen. This wasn't a laid-back thing. God said, I am who I am. Amen. This, my name is a memorial to generations. Amen. He wasn't trying to tell the people who Moses was. He was trying to tell the people who he was. Amen. And maybe you're dealing with an issue in your life. You're like Moses, and it's like you're fighting off your past. You're constantly fighting, whether it's an addiction, something that you're still dealing with it. Amen. You come to church and you're trying to live for God, but it's like you're in this rut where you can't seem to break through. Let me tell you, we don't need to tell the devil who we are. We need to tell the devil who God is. Amen. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free. Amen. You know, last year we did a series here on Wednesday nights about Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. And one of the biggest things I got from that is every time the devil came to tempt Jesus, he used the Bible. He used God's name. He didn't use him. He used God. Amen. If we have God operating in our lives, it's not about who we are or who we were. Amen. That's the blessing of it. You know, that shouldn't discourage you. That should be encouraging to you. Because if it's on us and who we are, we're in big trouble. Amen. I should retire. Amen. It's not on us. It's on what we allow God to do with us. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes, all the time, God has to separate us from what we think. Amen. We hang on so hard, even though we just read about that, you know, Moses, we saw what Moses did in his own way, but we tend to hold on so hard to our way of thinking. We think, no, God, you can't do anything with me. Sometimes God just needs to separate us and almost break us in a way. I want you to imagine for a second, you know, Moses has this great call of God on his life, but he's living in the desert tending sheep. If it's just you and a flock of sheep for a long time, you're not going to be totally normal in the mind. You know what I'm saying? There might be a little deterioration going on there. Amen. And so God had to separate and break down Moses till he was in that place where he would listen. Amen. It just takes us not being so stubborn sometimes. We just can't be stubborn anymore. So the first thing is God will humble you. Sometimes we need God to humble us. And like Pastor Paul said, we need to take our focus off of us and put it on God. Just believe him that he's able to use you. Say, God, I don't know how in the world you're going to do this, but you know what? If you ask me to join this ministry, I'm going to do it. If you ask me to reach out to that neighbor that's lonely and needs somebody to witness to them, I'm going to do it. Amen. I'm not looking at what I can do. I'm looking at who God is and what God can do. Amen. So the first thing is God will humble you. The second thing is God will equip you. God will equip you. He'll give you what you need. Amen. Look at Exodus chapter 4 a little bit later in our text here. Exodus 4:1. You'll notice if you, just for sake of time, I'm kind of skipping through. But if you read this whole story, every time God tells Moses this amazing thing he's going to do, it says Moses protested. That's what my version said. It said, but then Moses protested. You know, he was stubborn. He kept protesting what God said, and he did it here. Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say God has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. You know what? This is kind of proof that God is sarcastic sometimes. I imagine that this is how it happened. Moses said, but suppose they won't listen to me. What if they just don't believe I've heard from you? God said, what's that in your hand? Dummy? That's kind of what it sounded like to me. What's that in your hand? He said, a rod. And God said, you know what? I can even use that. You know what? God equipped him. God said, okay, if you need something, here's a rod. Amen. Moses wasn't sure how God was going to do miracles through him, so he gave him a staff. If we skip ahead, Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 13, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Amen. Moses had a lot of excuses. He had a lot of stubbornness. If God answered one thing, he just brought another. Amen. And sometimes we do that to ourselves. God, we say, God, look at all this baggage that I have. If it's not this, it's this over here. I'm dealing with this, the shame of this addiction. I'm dealing with the shame of this old relationship. I'm dealing with the shame of this and that. And we bring more and more baggage. The Lord said to him, verse 11, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Now look at the stubbornness again in verse 13. But he said, O Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. At this point, I think I would have been like, all right, we're just going to go somewhere else. You just continue to take care of these sheep. Amen. Thank God God doesn't do that. Amen. Even though we get to be stubborn sometimes, God said, okay, then here's Moses. And here's Aaron, Moses' brother. And he said, now just tell Aaron what to say and Aaron will preach it for you. And so God uses Moses to bring out the children of Israel. He equipped him. Amen. He was with him. That's the third one. He was with him. Amen. God humbled him, he equipped him, and he was with him. Just for sake of time, I won't read it, but if you look ahead in Exodus, when the children of Israel were crossing the desert, the Bible says that God led them by a pillar of fire. He didn't just say, go that way, good luck. Amen. He equipped them. He guided them. The Bible says that when Moses went on the mountain to pray, the Spirit of God came down and covered that mountain. Amen. God's Spirit walks with us when we decide that we're going to let go of the past and we're going to focus on Him. Amen. God's Spirit works with us. So my question for you this evening as it pertains to this is what is God wanting you to do with your life? What is it that God has for you? Amen. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. You could be older or younger. You could be whatever the case is. God has something for you to do. Amen. That's why it's called the body of Christ, because we all have different talents. We all have different abilities and availabilities, but God has something for every single one of you. Amen. None of us are meant to go out into the desert and be shepherds, as it were. Amen. We're not meant to be content with just kind of living with our heads down. We come to church, we still want to kind of try and be saved, but we're not really going to do anything. That's not what God has for us. Amen. God has greater things. Amen. So what is God wanting you to do with your life? Well, that's the ultimate question, isn't it? I wish I had the answer. The easier answer is, I don't know. I don't know what God has for you. That's a great question. But he does equip us, like we said, he gives us the ability to find that out. Amen. You can crack open your Bible and begin to read about it. You can pray and say, God, what is it that you would have me do? Amen. There are all kinds of opportunities around us in this church. Amen. There's all kinds of ministries that you can join. Join a Bible study or a small group. Amen. You could even be super brave and take a track with you and witness to somebody. There's all kinds of opportunities. Amen. If you don't know what it is, just try a bunch of things. Amen. Just try it out and see. Because I tell you, God will guide you. He'll equip you. He'll give you whatever you need to make it happen. If there's one thing I've learned since we've moved to Longmont, it's that God will bring it. Amen. God will provide. I have so many testimonies just in our personal life of just God bringing, even financially, miracles. Usually it's right at the deadline, right when we need it. Amen. But that's how God works sometimes. And so what we have to do is we can't be stubborn like Moses was. Amen. We can't continue to look at where we are in our lives and think because of our past or because of the baggage that we've had in our lives, we're disqualified from doing what God wants us to do. Amen. Sometimes we have to grow up a little bit. Amen. It's kind of a childish thing. Isn't it a childish thing to kind of run from your problems? Amen. That wasn't a very mature thing of me to do, to hit the pastor's car and run. Amen. The mature thing would have been to handle it right then and there. And so sometimes we need to grow up a little bit. Amen. 1 Corinthians, I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Amen. We don't run from our problems. So what do? We give them to God and we let him deal with it. Amen. If you've got baggage here tonight, you've got things in your past that you feel like are holding you back, you know what? The devil will bring it against you all the time. He'll remind you of it. Anytime you start doing something for God, he'll try and make you feel disqualified. The best way to get rid of that is to let God deal with that thing. Amen. He'll take away that guilt. Amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to tell you, you know what? You might be dealing with anxiety, depression, all kinds of guilt. Listen, we've all made mistakes. Amen. None of us are perfect here, and we've all got baggage that we're dealing with. And just like Moses, we can get to a place where we just get comfortable. You know, it's like the engine light. Pastor Paul has said it before. It's like driving with your engine light on. We just kind of get comfortable, and well, hopefully this thing doesn't blow up. Amen. Sometimes we live our lives that way, but the thing that we ought to do is bring it to God. God was trying, the reason that he did what he did at that burning bush is he was trying to get Moses' attention. He was saying, Moses, stop focusing on what you did in the past and let me work out your future. Amen. How many want God to work out your future? Praise God. You know what? We can move forward from this day and all of a sudden God begins to click things in your life. He'll bring people in your path and make opportunities for you to be effective for the gospel. Amen. If you don't know where that is, begin to ask God, God, what is it that you would have me do? And I guarantee you, he'll show you. Amen. You'll have your burning bush moment. Amen. He'll get your attention this evening. I just want to ask if everyone would bow their heads and close their eyes in reverence to God. We're going to bring this service to a close, but amen. I believe that tonight some of us need our burning bush moment. We need God to begin to speak to us and help us to deal with the things in our past that might be holding us back from our future. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you might be in this place and you really resonate with this story of Moses. You've got things in your life that are holding you back. They're making you feel guilty. You feel like you're disqualified from doing anything in ministry. You feel like you know, who am I to talk to someone about Jesus? I'm barely scraping by as it is. I want to tell you that does not disqualify you from living for God. Amen. If anything, that just means God's going to get the glory when he makes your life count for something. Amen. And I believe with all my heart that God put this message on my heart because there's some people that we need to deal with this baggage. We need to allow God to take away the guilt and take away the shame of our past so that we can begin to be used by him. The first way that we do that is by giving our hearts to Jesus. It's not by just trying to turn over a new leaf. It's not by saying, well, I'm just going to try my best not to go back. No, it's completely giving our needs, giving our addictions, giving our burdens, giving our sins to God and saying, God, I can't do it anymore. I'm trusting in you. I'm not going to run from it. I'm giving it to you and confessing my sins right now. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never done that. You've never asked Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. And tonight you're saying, you know what? I want to make this night the night that I give Jesus my heart and begin to see him cleanse my life from sin. If that's you tonight and you just want to make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, with every head bowed, I want to ask all across the sanctuary, how many would say, that's me? Just quickly raise your hand up and put it right back down. Amen. Lots of hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. How many more would join these? You say, I want to get my life right with God. I want to make him the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hands going up all over. Praise God. Maybe you consider yourself a Christian. You have a relationship or you've had a relationship with Jesus, but you'd say, you know what? I've made some mistakes. Kind of like Moses. I've tried to do things in my own way and you know what? I need to get some things cleaned up in my life and get back to where I was. I need to find that first love again. Maybe you've turned away from God and you'd say, tonight's my night to come back. Just quickly raise your hand all over. How many would say, that's me? I'm rededicating my life. Amen. I see these hands. How many more? Don't be ashamed. Amen. Tonight can be your night to get free tonight. I see these hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, thank you, God. Let's all stand to our feet this evening. I preach short so that we can have plenty of time to to pray and plenty of time for God to work. If you raise your hand for salvation or for rededicating your life, or I'm just going to make one more call. Maybe without being real specific, you just have some baggage in your life. You can be saved for 50 years or this is your first service, but you have things in your past, things that you've done or maybe you're still doing, and it's just like it's got its claws in you and you just need God to set you free. I can tell you God can and will do that tonight. And so if you raise your hand for salvation or you want to come down and begin to ask God to set you free from some things, I want to invite you to come down to this altar right now. Just step out of your seats and come down. We have some people that want to pray with you.